Welcome to Sandals Church. My name is Jonathan, and I want to say thank you so much for inviting us into your home or wherever you're watching at today. Here at Sandals Church, our vision is to be real with ourselves, God, and others. And if this is the first time you're watching, man, we want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here, and we'd love to invite you to head over to move.sc/new because we want to know who you are, and we want to know where you're joining us from. If you join us each week, we'd love for you to drop a comment right in the chat. We'd like to know who you are, what's going on, how we can care, and how we can pray for you today. And better yet, we'd love for you to share this message so that your friends and your family can join us and watch as well. Today, our lead pastor, Matt Brown, is going to be continuing in our current series called Elevate, and we're going to be focusing on the hope that only God gives. And now, more than ever, we're realizing just the importance of sharing this hope, God's hope, in this vision of being real, so that anyone and everyone that wants to listen can hear. And I want to say thank you so much to all of you that have been giving to Sandals Church. You've been giving consistently, you've been giving generously, and man, you are making a difference all over the world. If you've never given before, today's your chance. Give, partner with us, and help us make a difference in seeing this vision of being real become a reality. You can go to give.sc at any time. Right now, we're going to start this service with just singing songs of worship to God. And I'd like to remind you that it doesn't matter where you're at right now. It matters who God is. So would you sing with us and would you worship God today?
Welcome to Sandals Church. As we all belong to the same God, let's all sing to Him today together. Sing this with us.
As I reflect, I find perspective there in the best and worst days of this life. You were always on my side. You're in the pain, you're in the promise, and on the days the furnace fights my faith. You're the fourth within the flames.
Sing it out.
Trust Him with what comes next, 'cause
worship that joins us together, especially in times like this. So from across the world, wherever you are watching, I want to invite you to sing out with us, to join in the song, and with one voice declare the goodness and the grace that Jesus has given us. Come on, let's sing this out together.
People, come together, strangers, neighbors, blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, the kingdom come. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up, I don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
God is working all the time to tear down walls and tear down barriers so that we can experience His goodness and His grace. Let's sing this out.
Swing wide, O you heavens. Let the praise go up as the walls come down. O creation, everything with breath repeat the sound. All His children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus.
Let's sing it again. Swing wide.
Swing wide, are you heavens? Let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, we feel the sound. All His children.
Friend forever, His kingdom come.
Hey guys, welcome to sandalschurch.tv again. I just want you to know, I can't believe this has gone on that long. Man, last weekend I was watching myself, which you just got to know is weird to watch yourself. But I was watching myself. I was amen and laughing. I told my wife, I was like, this guy's good. And like everybody's looking at their phones. Nobody's paying attention. So thank you so much. Give me an amen. Give me a holler. Look, I can't hear it, but God can. And I just want you to enjoy this series because we want to lift you up no matter where you are. Let's just say this. Nobody's where we want to be. That's the truth. Nobody's where we want to be. We wish things were different. And so what, if we can't change our settings, maybe we need to change our mindset and we need to change the way we look at things. And so I want to talk today with you about how to elevate my life by elevating my goals. See, so many of us are focused on what we can't do. We haven't thought about what we should do. We're so focused on the negative, we fail to see the positive that God wants to bring in our life. And that's why Philippians is the perfect book for us. Like some of you feel trapped. Well, the Apostle Paul is trapped. Some of you, when he wrote the book of Philippians, some of you say, well, I feel like I'm in prison. The Apostle Paul was in prison. Some of you guys say, well, I feel like my rights have been taken away. The Apostle Paul, as a Roman citizen, lost all of his rights. He's incarcerated. He's in prison. And listen to me, in this moment when he cannot do what he wants to do, in this moment when he can't go where he wants to go, he has the biggest impact in the history of the Christian world outside of Jesus Christ dying on a cross. He did his best work when he couldn't go anywhere. He set like his best goals when he felt like he couldn't do anything. And that's why Philippians is so important. Just because you feel stuck doesn't mean that God wants you to stay stuck. He might want to do something in your life during this COVID crisis. So I want you to elevate your goals. I want you to think about your goals. And some of you are like, well, I had goals and they're all gone. Well, let's get some new goals. Let's think of some new things that we can do together. So Paul writes the book of Philippians from a jail cell to a church, and he's got some goals for them. And he talks about what he wants them to experience and encounter. And here's what he says in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. He says, not that I've already obtained this or that I'm already perfect. He said, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, preacher slap, here it comes. God will reveal this also to you. And only let us hold to what is true and to what we've attained. You see, Paul says, no matter where you are, you can think about where you're going. He says this, I can elevate my goals, write this down, by being honest about where I am. You see, some of you know where you are physically, but you don't know where you are spiritually, and many of you are clueless as to where you are emotionally. And a lot of the fights that we're having as married couples, a lot of the frustrations we're having with roommates, a lot of the irritations that we're having on the highway. I mean, how can you be irritated? There's never been this little traffic in Southern California, but you're still irritated. You see, oftentimes we know where we are physically, but we lose ourselves spiritually and emotionally. You see, God wants me to elevate my goals by being honest about where I am. Where am I? Some of you, you had some goals when we started this crisis 8 weeks ago. And you forgot them day two, day three. Some of you, I haven't done anything. Just today, Tammy and I were taking a walk and we ran into an individual from our church and he said, man, I realized I was a couch potato and I had to get outside. I had to get outside. Look, what's your excuse? Most of us are in Southern California. It's beautiful weather. Get outside, set up some goals. But I got to be honest about where I am. Philippians 3:12, Paul says this, not that I've already attained this, or I am already perfect. I want you to be so careful about who you seek spiritual guidance from. Always be weary of the person who says, I've made it. I've figured it out.
I'm enlightened. As soon as somebody tells you they're enlightened, know this, they're still in the dark. As soon as somebody tells you they figured it out, I want you to know they're lost. What they're doing is they're presenting some kind of sales program. And I want you to know, the guy who wrote half of our Christian Bible says, I don't know everything I need to know. I haven't figured it all out. He's honest. Why can't you be honest? He says, not that I've already obtained this or that I'm already perfect. Why do we feel like, as Christians especially, we got to be so perfect? Why is it that we feel that way? Why is it that we put that pressure on ourselves? The Bible doesn't put that pressure on you. God doesn't put that pressure on you. You put that pressure on you. And part of the reason we can't figure out where we are is because we can't be honest with where we are. Because we have to lie even to ourselves, and we have to tell ourselves that I'm somewhere that I'm not. Paul, in a letter to the Romans, says this. He says, because of the privilege and authority that God has given me. Don't you wish our politicians always felt that way? That they recognize that power is a privilege, that it's a privilege to serve, it's a privilege to guide, it's a privilege to lead. This guy says, look, he says, I realize because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, he says, I give you each this warning. He says, don't really think you're better than you are. Don't do that. Don't let pride swallow you. Don't let it consume you. Look, if you're gonna set goals, in order to get where you wanna go, you gotta know where you are. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest. Why is that a commandment? Like, we would all say, oh, I hate dishonesty. And yet, all of us at some level are dishonest. At some level, we're dishonest. And most of us are dishonest with ourselves. Where are you? Where are you in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us? Here's what I've learned in COVID. My faith is not where it needs to be. It's not. I've panicked. I've freaked out. I've lost my mind. I've done things I've had to apologize over, you know, and that's on Tuesday each week, right? Every single week I realize, okay, my faith is not where it needs to be. But I want you to see this. This is why this is so important. You see, my location determines my direction. You see, signs of where you're headed are irrelevant if you don't know where you are. It's irrelevant. In order to get somewhere you want to go, you have to know where you are. Tammy and I, we had a date night this week, and we just drove down to San Clemente, and we're all depressed because they fenced off the beaches. Now, I'm not as young as I once was, you know. When we first got married, I would have jumped the fence and helped her over the fence, and I just looked at her, I was like, yep, this date's over. You know, nobody's jumping that fence, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I love you, but I ain't gonna sprain an ankle for you. I mean, that's just not gonna happen. So we gotta come up with a plan B. But we were driving around San Clemente, and we found the funniest sign. I wanna challenge you. You want a date night? Go to San Clemente. I mean, not everybody at once, because there's more people that go to Sandals maybe than live in San Clemente. But listen, at some point in time, go to San Clemente and try to find this sign. I kid you not, this is a real sign in San Clemente, and Tammy and I found it by accident because we got turned around. When I say we, I mean me, because I was driving, right? But the sign says this. We're driving around in San Clemente. The sign says, to the right is Las Vegas. Las Vegas. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong. I mean, I love California. I love our state. But we all know we're a little screwed up when it comes to governance. But there's a sign in San Clemente that says, right turn, Vegas. And so I look down the street. It's a dead-end street. It goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. There's like a warehouse down there, but it's just some sign, and it's a newer sign. And what it means is it's been recently replaced. So the city of San Clemente has been wrong for a long time. You see, going right isn't going to lead you to Vegas. It's going to lead you to Dana Point. That's where it's going to lead you. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just off. And some of us, man, we open up the Bible and we say, God, show me where I need to go. But the Bible doesn't want to show you where you need to go. It wants to show you where you are. You see, if you don't know you're in San Clemente, man, right to Las Vegas is not helpful. You need to figure out how to get on the 5. Then you need to figure out how to get on the 91. Then you got to find the 15, right? There's a lot of work that has to go in to find in Las Vegas. But it just cracked me up. Where are you today? Where are you? And if you don't know, ask somebody, maybe, you know, over Zoom. That way they can be honest with you so there's no wrath, right? There's a lot more wrath when it's up close. But just ask people, where am I? How am I? How do you experience me? How do you feel me? Where do you think I am emotionally? Where do you think I am spiritually? And here's the thing. There's a difference between understanding vocabulary and actually understanding the reality of your situation. You see, in church, we learn vocabulary. We learn how to talk spiritual. If you're in counseling or you're a psychology major, you learn to talk emotional. But it doesn't mean, simply because you're a therapist, doesn't mean that you're emotionally in tune with what's happening with you. And just because you've been to church all your life or you've read your Bible doesn't mean that you have an accurate gauge of your spiritual temperature. It's why in the book of Revelation, the Lord writes to a church and says, hey guys, I know you're having church. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is saying, hey, all you Christians, I'd love to be a part of this meeting. Nobody in the church had any idea that Jesus was excluded. You see, you need to be honest with where you are and say, God, I want you to show me. It's one of the most beautiful Psalms that King David in the Hebrew Bible said. He said, reveal to me, Lord, anything that's wrong inside of me, anything. He says, search me, look at me, examine me, show me where I need to grow, because you're never going to attain your goals unless you can identify where you are. Next, I elevate my goals by reminding myself of who I am. I don't know about you, but I shared with my small group this week, my core sin, my core issue, to the core of who I am is insecurity. And for some of you, that's shocking. You're like, wow, you get out there on stage and you do all this. And here's what I found. The more successful people often are, the more insecure they are. Right? A lot of it's just an act so they feel better about themselves. And so they're driven to perform so they can make themselves feel like, you know, okay, people like me. And so here's the thing. Whenever I get wobbly, whenever I get weird, whenever I dive into sin, if I'm honest, it always comes back to insecurity. Insecurity. I'm trying to cover something. I'm trying to give an image of something. Listen to what he says. Paul says this, Philippians 3:12. But I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Look, I don't have value because you listen. I don't have value because of the size of Sandals Church. I have value because of Jesus. You see, God already decided my value, and my value was his son's life. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about everything that you've done to keep your family safe, to keep your kids safe. I want you to think that everything that you've done to keep yourself safe, you've changed all these things in your life because you value either your life or your family's life or your friend's life. You see, you've made changes because of what you value. God made changes because of what he values. He sent his one and only son, who is with him forever, since the beginning, never left. He sent his son. He turned his back on his son so we could turn our faces to him. That's our value. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. There's a Christian artist, and some of you didn't even know she was a Christian artist. Some of you have never heard of her, but her name is Lauren Daigle. And here's the thing is, she wrote a Christian song that has crossed over from simply a Christian audience to a very, very non-Christian audience. Like she's gone from Christian radio stations to like, you know, Today with Ellen, right? To the Today Show. She's all over media. She's all over the place. And it's not just because of the quality of her voice, but it's because of the quality of this hit song. Because this doesn't just address something that we feel as Christians. Her song addresses something that we feel as people. You see, part of the reason you think you can't attain a goal is you've forgotten who your God is. You've forgotten what he says. And for many of you, your goals are far too small because your God is far too small. Listen to what Lauren says. She says, I keep fighting voices in my mind. You know, I believe that's why all of you, especially young people, you run around with headphones constantly, right? Everywhere you go, everybody's got headphones in. You know why that is? I think we're all afraid of our thoughts. It's not that you like music. It's that you're terrified of your own thoughts. right? When we're alone with ourselves, that gets a little scary. Like, nope, I got to have music playing all the time so I don't stop and think and get insecure. Listen to what she says. I keep fighting the voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Here's one of the most beautiful, incredible voices you will ever hear saying, I don't feel like I'm enough. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing, right? It's incredible. You say I am strong when I feel weak. You say I am held when I'm falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. And listen to these words. She says, I believe. I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. Man, that song's a hit song, not just because it's a beautiful song, but because it's truth, because it's gospel. It's good news. It's what every single one of us needs to hear. You see, many of you are running around and you're worried about what everybody else is saying. The only reason what they say matters is because of what you're saying to yourself. Stop listening to yourself and start listening to God. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says matter. I got to figure out where I am spiritually, emotionally, and I got to remind myself of whose I am, of whose I am. About a year ago, we celebrated my friend's 50th birthday. And we do these things, you know, it's called words of affirmation, where we speak positive words about people before they die. Because we just believe in our family, you know, don't save it till when they're dead, because then they can't hear it. Say it when they're alive. We were doing words of affirmation. My son was turning 50, and his young teenage boy with tears in his eyes said, I'm so afraid. I'm so terrified. And he said, and when I think I can't do it, he says, and he looks in his dad's eyes and he says, I remind myself, you're my dad. And I find strength in you, Dad. Isn't that incredible? You see, a young boy, a young teenager has identified at the age of 15 what some of us don't know at 50. We can do what our dad says we can do. We can do things that are bigger than us, that are beyond us, because of who our dad is. And I know some of you didn't have the dad that you wished, or some of you had no dad at all. I want you to know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you, who sent his son to die for you, and you can do far more than you've ever imagined because of who your dad is and because of what your dad has done for you. Don't listen to the world. Listen to God. Listen to what he says about you. Many of you feel worthless, and God said you were worth Christ. Remember that when you feel low. 1 Thessalonians says this, we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. You didn't choose God, God chose you. He chose you, he loved you, he picked you. Think about that, he picked you. So many of us our whole life, we felt unpicked, unnoticed, unloved, underappreciated, and God saw everything about you, and he wanted you so desperately that he sent his own son to die on the cross because he had to have you. Think about that. The greatest love story that's ever been told is not something written by Nicholas Sparks, it's something written by Jesus Christ that he didn't write with a pen, but he wrote with his own blood. That's what he believed you were worth. Ephesians 1:4 says this, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, and underline this, without fault in his own eyes. Without fault. I want you to know that as a father, I don't love my kids because they're perfect. They can't be perfect because I'm their dad, right? Their DNA comes from me. I love them because they're my kids. It's the same reason God loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son on the cross to die for you. Next, I elevate my goals, Paul says, by learning from my past, but not being imprisoned by it. Some of you, here's what you found out. The same old habits that you had before COVID are the same old habits that you've struggled with during COVID, and you believe this lie. They're the same habits that you'll struggle forever after COVID. You've made yourself a prisoner to your past. You've made yourself a prisoner to the mistakes you've made. You've made yourself a prisoner to what you believe you did wrong and what others have told you you've done wrong. And you're never going to give yourself permission to escape your past. Paul says this. But one thing I do, underline that, one thing I do, and I don't think he means it's the only thing he does. He means it's the most important thing that he does. This is the most important thing that I have to do every single day to get up, to move on, to press forward, to set goals. There's one thing I got to do. I got to forget what lies behind, and I got to strain forward to what lies ahead. To what lies ahead. I don't know about you, but I live way too much in the past. My favorite game is called woulda, coulda, shoulda. And it always ends with me losing. I never win that game. I never win woulda, coulda, shoulda. I just don't. And I get trapped in the past, and my past robs me from the glorious future that God has for me. Paul says, one thing I do. One thing I do. I forget what lies behind, and I strain, Paul says, forward to what lies ahead. I know some of you say, this is never going to end. That's a lie. This will end at some point in time. It will end. And you will either be ready for the new future or you won't be. You will be either gold up for the new future or you won't be. Some of you will never escape COVID. You will remain in COVID for the rest of your life, imprisoned in fear, scared to death to shake a hand, talk to somebody, commune with somebody, and you will isolate yourself and self-imprison yourself for the rest of your life because of what happened in 2020, when in one day it'll be 2040. And your grandkids will be like, Grandma, what was COVID? You see, it's a history lesson for them, but for those of you who don't have goals, it will be your present. It won't just be a casket today. It'll be a casket for the rest of your life. You got to move forward. You got to think forward. And yeah, life is different. Yeah, it's not what you thought. But the future never is. It's never what we thought. So how do I overcome my past? Man, I'm just going to give this to you for free. I've paid thousands of dollars of counseling. I hope this blesses you. Okay? This is from me to you. A little gift from Pastor Matt to you. Just accept it. Just accept it. Look, if you meet somebody who says they would never change anything in the past, they're just not real. Just pat them on the shoulder and move on. Just move on. We'd all change things. We'd all do things differently, unless, of course, you're clueless. And then you need to go back to step number one and look at where you really are, because you're not as woke as you think you are. Accept it. Just accept it. Next, this is important. You got to accept it. Next, you got to learn from it. If you don't learn from it, you're going to repeat it over and over and over again. The book of Proverbs calls this a fool. The fool never learns. No matter what the consequence is, they just torture themselves for their entire life. They never figure it out. Learn from it. And I got news for you. Not everybody does. Not everybody learns. Some people, like if you're like me, you put your hand in the oven. Ow, that was hot. You go, I'm not going to do that again. Other people forget. They're like, ow, 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 ow. And then they go to counseling. Why am I burned? Because you're putting your hand in the oven. Oh, that can't be it. Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, that's it. Learn from it. Learn from it. And then listen to me. Move on from it. Move on. Move on. When I first started Sandals Church for about a decade, because I started Sandals in the same city where I went to college for a decade, I had college friends that I went to school with, people that I knew, people that I didn't know. I had professors who were like, that guy can't do anything. God could never change his life. God could never use him. And I would listen to them. I'd try to convince them, no, I'm really changed. Look what I can do, right? And then eventually I just had to go, you know what? You guys are stuck in the past. I'm not living there. I'm not living there. And you got to move on. You can't convince everybody that you're different. You can't convince everybody that you've changed. You got to have your goals, and you got to realize not everybody wants to move forward. And let me just say this lovingly, and I want you to pray about this. I want you to pray to God, and I want you to hear from His Spirit. You see, some people who will not release you from your past should not be a part of your future. It is unbiblical, ungodly, and evil to not forgive someone and allow them to move on. Joseph In the final chapter of Genesis says this, who am I to sit in the seat of God? And he forgave his brothers who sold him into slavery, and left him for dead and lied to his mom and dad and said an animal ate him. He said, who am I to sit in the seat of God? There's only one person who can sit in the seat of God, and his name is Jesus, and he's willing to forgive you. So you and I, we need to be willing to forgive others. And listen to me, people who cannot forgive have a demonic spirit. It is not the Lord. And I don't care if they call themselves Christians or they wear a cross. The devil wants to trap you and keep you where you were. Jesus died to deliver you from where you were and to take you to where you're called to be. Unfortunately, and this is a hard lesson, sometimes in order to live out the goals that God's given you, you got to let go of some of the people that you loved. Not everybody has goals. Not everybody has dreams. Some people, remember last weekend, like the man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years, don't want to get well. They don't want to get better. They just want to complain. And that's a hard thing. Jesus, sometimes in the Gospels, walks away from people. He walks away. Because you can't change those who don't want to change. Next, I got to elevate my goals by embracing the hard work ahead. I think a lot of us Christians believe this, and it's a lie. It's only God's will if it's easy. Let me ask you this question. Was it easy for Jesus Christ to die on the cross? Was that easy? It was God's will. Sometimes the goals that God has for us mean heartache, mean struggle, mean pain, mean suffering. Many of you, you come to Sandals Church. Some of you have never been to Sandals Church. You only watch online, 79 countries around the world. Over 500,000 people, 3 million people since COVID started have tuned in to watch. Some of you will never know. You are totally blessed by the beauty and wonder and awe of Sandals Church, but you will never know the heartache, the hurt, the betrayal, the sacrifice, the tears. You'll never know any of those things. And let me tell you something. If there weren't people at Sandals Church that were willing to walk that walk, that were willing to suffer, that were willing to struggle, none of us would have been ever able to experience the joy and wonder that we experienced through Sandals Church. Man, if your goals don't involve heartache and struggle, I would say this, your goals are not high enough. They're not high enough. Embrace the hard work ahead. Philippians 3:13. But one thing I do is I forget what lies behind, and I want you to circle this word, I strain. I strain forward to what lies ahead. I work hard. Some of you guys are going to have to reimagine your life. You're going to have to reimagine your business. You're going to have to set new financial goals. Man, I can't tell you, over the 24 years of Sandals, I've had to reimagine our staff. I've had to reimagine our structure. I've had to reimagine my job. I've had to let go of things, let things die, kill things in me. I've had to reinvent myself over and over and over again. Here's the thing. If you want God to move in an all-powerful way in your life, you have to become agile and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this. It doesn't matter what you were before COVID. If you want to become who God's called you to be after COVID, you got to be willing to change. One thing I do, I got to strain forward. I got to look forward. It doesn't matter what I was. And let me just say this. When most Christians read this verse, one thing I do, I forget the past and I strain forward. All of us inevitably think Paul's talking about bad things. He's talking about his sins. He's talking about his struggles. He's talking about all of his worries, all of his anxieties. Paul's not talking about any of those things. If you read Philippians chapter 3, Paul's talking about all the beauty that he had, the status, the income, the nobility, all the things that were positive before he came to Christ. He says, I forget all that crap. That's what he calls it, crap. And I press forward. It doesn't matter how wealthy you were. It doesn't matter how powerful you were. None of those things matter. Look, the positive of our past can be negative for our future. It can be. And some of you are going to be trapped because maybe you never make as much money as you did. Maybe some of you never attain the same status that you had. Man, what if God had to take away that money? What if God had to take away that status to get you to the goal that God's called you to? The Bible says this, that Jesus Christ had status. Jesus Christ had it all. He let it all go to save you. And sometimes God's got to get us to let all the good stuff that we thought was good, that really was bad stuff, that was holding us back from what God called us to. It's not just the bad that we have to leave behind. Sometimes it's what we considered a blessing. We got to let that go too. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. You know what's going to keep some of you guys from attaining the goals that God has for you? It's your pride from the past. You can't let go of the past so that you can take hold of the future. You got to let it go because you can't live in the past and the present at the same time. Ephesians 4:28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands so that he may have something to share with those in need. Look, we may be headed for one of the darkest, most difficult economic times in our country. And we can't just think about ourselves. We have to begin to think about each other. We have to begin to think about the body of Christ. We have to begin to think about how we can help those who are in need. Some of you still have a job. You're blessed. Many people have lost their jobs, lost their businesses. Some people will lose their homes. Many of us are focused and you're like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being in this house. At least you have a house. And your kids are complaining, oh my gosh, we got to eat this again. At least you're eating again. And we got to remind ourselves of that the purpose of work is not just to build a big house. The purpose of work is not just to buy a boat so we can go to the river or to go to the ocean or so we can go on a vacation. The purpose of work for the Christian is so that we have something to give, something to bring, something to bless. You got to be useful with your own hands. You got to be useful. You got to do something with your own hands. Look, embracing your future that you have in Christ is going to take work. It's going to take work. And you got to work hard at it. Last point, I got to elevate my goals by focusing on where I'm called. Many of you are going to wrestle with two things as we go forward. Some of you are exiting high school and you're going into some uncertain times in college. I know a lot of our college graduates are exiting college with nothing but a bunch of debt and no opportunities. There's a lot of tension in our world between two things. So if you're more of a liberal mindset, you're told to follow your passion. Follow your passion. What are you passionate about? What do you want to do? If you're of a conservative mindset, you say follow opportunity. Follow opportunity. Work is work. And I want you to know, I think passion's a real thing, and I think opportunity's a real thing. But for those of us who are spiritual-minded, there's a third option, and it's called calling. There's what I'm passionate about, there's opportunities, and then there's calling. What has God called me to do? What has he called me to do? The Apostle Paul was passionate about being a rabbi. The Apostle Paul, when opportunities arised, built tents, but he was called to preach the gospel. Do you see the difference? Passionate about being a Jew, opportunistic about building tents. That's what his profession was, but he was called to preach the gospel. You have passions, you have opportunities, but you have a calling from God. He said, I press onward towards the goal for the prize, listen to this, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do, you got to do it with heaven in mind. You got to do it with your calling in mind. Listen to what it says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And it is the Lord that you are serving. Think about that. You got to work for the Lord. These are going to be tough times. These are going to be difficult times, but you got to know that your goals don't end on earth. Your goals end in the presence of Jesus at his feet, being held accountable for how you lived. You don't know. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in an honorable way and remind yourself you don't work for a boss. You don't. You work for Jesus. And here's what the Bible says. If you stay humble and you stay faithful, at the right time, he'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. And I know that some of you are going to get discouraged. I want you to know that 5 years ago, Tammy and I, we started out on a new venture, a new opportunity. And it blew up in our face and it just repeatedly didn't work. And ultimately, I had to end a legal contract with somebody. A legal contract. And it could have got ugly. It could have got nasty. But I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And we ended on good terms. On good terms. And I just thought that opportunity was gone. I thought that opportunity was over. But I reminded myself, despite the frustration, despite the struggle, that ultimately I don't work for anybody other than Jesus. And I got a phone call from that person this year. And they've become the president of one of the largest media corporations in America. And he gave me an opportunity. 5 years ago, it was a total miss. Total disaster, total failure. But thank God I didn't lose my mind. I didn't lose my temper. I didn't get overly frustrated. I stayed positive. And 5 years later, I got an opportunity. You never know what God is going to do. Stay faithful, listen to me, even when it feels like a failure. Let me say that again. Stay faithful, even when it feels like a failure. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord that you are serving. It's the Lord that you are serving. And I'm going to close with this, 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. As you take some time this week and you write out your goals, I just want you to look. A lot of them will be financial. Some of them may be physical. And hopefully some of them are emotional. But can I just ask you, how many of those goals are spiritual? Because if none of them are spiritual, you're not going to elevate yourself. You're not going to elevate at all. You're going to deflate. Because listen to me, with Christ, it doesn't matter where you are. It matters where he is. And Jesus Christ was able to elevate the Apostle Paul in the midst of a prison cell to write these words to lift you and I out of whatever it is that we're feeling and we're going through. I want you to know that I'm so grateful and so thankful for you. Keep giving, keep trusting, keep hanging in there. Because I believe no matter what you're going through, God is going to elevate you. I want to invite you right after my prayer to join us for worship. I think there's no better way than to elevate your spirits than to sing to God, right? When our praises go up, our emotions go up. When we praise God for who he is, he lifts us up where we are. So let me close in prayer. I want to invite those of you who want to stay and worship with us. Thank you again for joining me today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every discouraged, depressed, and isolated person. I pray right now that they would know they're not alone, that you are there with them. God, I pray that you lift them, that you encourage them, that you challenge them, Lord, that this week they would get serious about writing down some goals and working towards those goals. God, give them the courage to be honest about where they are and what they need to change so that they can attain what you've called them to. God, give them a mind for heaven. Give them thoughts that come from above and lift them from their present circumstance to the reality that ultimately you've called us all to. Father, we pray that you bless us with an uplifting spirit, Lord, with an elevated hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who Jesus says that you are is the truest thing about you. And we sing to remind ourselves of that. We sing to remind ourselves of his word. And so I want to invite you to sing out again, to worship, and to declare these words of truth over your life. Sing this with me.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me into his love.
Discouraged. God, that when we hear the lies, we can remember that you have called us a people who are chosen, who belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is who you say that we are. And so with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts, we worship you. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Sing this out, I'm chosen.
I am chosen. Not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Sing it out over your life.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Because God is for you.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Oh, come on, sing it out.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I am who you say I am.
Come on.
Oh, I am who you say I am. Oh, who the sun.
Oh, it's free. this with us.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. I love that reminder from Pastor Matt that we can break free from our past and even create goals to better our future. And I would just encourage you to think and pray about these two simple goals that would just be life-changing for you today. And the first one is community. If you're not a part of a community group, I want to invite you to be a part of one of our groups here at Sandals Church. No matter where you're watching from, you can go to move.sc/groups at any time and join, or better yet, you can start a group from wherever you're watching. And the second one is this, it's to simply give, maybe for the first time. If you've never given before, we're asking you to partner with us today to give, to see this vision of being real with ourselves, God, and others. Bless your community and bless communities all around the world. Just yesterday, I was in my local grocery store with a Sandals Church shirt on, and a gentleman came up to me and said, "I just started watching Sandals Church for the very first time online last week, and it has blessed my life." To add to that story, the very next day, I got the privilege to call someone, a new person, a family member of Sandals Church now in Berlin, Germany, who wanted to know what it meant to start a real relationship with Jesus. How awesome is that? Because you give, you are making a difference all around the world. So thank you. Next week, we want to meet you back right here at Sandals Church Online. And I want to encourage you to invite somebody to watch along with you as we go back into this series, Elevate Your Life, as Pastor Matt continues preaching on what it means to elevate your mental, your emotional, and your spiritual life. We'll see you right back here next Sunday.